Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Tanakh B'Shanah for this week. This week, we are going to be learning Sefer Kohelet. Sefer Kohelet is arguably one of the most complex Sfarim in all of Tanakh, because there is not one thing that you could say, Sefer Kohelet is about this. Sefer Kohelet is made up of a number of different themes, ideas, and topics that are discussed. But the first thing I want to discuss is, did Shlomo HaMelech edit Kohelet? It seems to be that Sefer Kohelet has a million things thrown in. And if one were to edit it, there would definitely be things that you could take out, things that don't seem to contribute to any central theme, any central idea, and are relatively extraneous. Why do they need to be included? So in our study of Sefer Kohelet, we're going to keep this in the back of our mind, and we're going to look at what is Sefer Kohelet all about, and what are we meant to learn from it? So if we start out, we have to think broadly. Chazal say that there are two things that we have to be worried about when we enter into our learning. The first thing we have to be worried about is that someone may not be able to be objective when they're studying Torah, that they will learn Torah to serve a specific purpose, and they will serve it to lead to a certain idea, to back their idea that they came into their learning with. And the other idea that we have to be nervous about is that Chazal say that we have to be nervous that people are coming into their Torah learning with ideas that are outside of Torah values. That someone may say, I want to find a way to understand that I am able to serve Avodah Zarah, and they will look into Torah to try to find a justification for their agenda, for the idea that they went into their Torah learning looking to back up. We see this idea come up in Bereishis Rabbah when it comes to the writing of the Torah. And it says, Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Amar, b'shah shehaya Moshe kotivet ha-Torah. It's talking about the time that Moshe was writing down the Torah. Haya kotiv ma'asa kol yom v'yom. He was writing every day. Kivan shehigia l'pasuk hazeh shene'emar v'yomer Elokim na'aseh Adam. Until Moshe arrived at the pasuk that said, na'aseh Adam, that Hashem told Moshe to write, na'aseh Adam, let us make man. B'tzalminu kidmutenu, in our image, amar lefanav ribon ha'olam, ma'atanotim pe'laminim. Moshe said to Hashem, Hashem, why would you write this pasuk? This is giving an open door to those who are heretics, to those who don't want to believe. Itvameha amarlo katuv harotelet ot yata. Hashem responds to Moshe. He says, this is what it should say in the Torah. And those who want to mistakenly understand this, they will make that mistake. So already we see in the Midrash that there is this understanding that there is room in the Torah for misunderstanding, and this was a concern in its writing. There was a concern that people would misunderstand, but Hashem says, we can't worry too much about this. There is meaning in what I am writing in the Torah, and if someone would like to misunderstand this, allow them to misunderstand. However, we do see that it's not always the attitude that Hakol yitayata, that anyone who is going to be mistaken should be mistaken. Rather, we see in Masechet Megillah, when it is talking about the translation of the Torah into the Septuagint, it says, Ma'aseh b'Talmai HaMelech, it was in the time of Talmi, the king, Shechinis Shivim v'Shnayim Zekinim, that he gathered 72 Zekinim elders, v'Hechnisan b'Shivim v'Shnayim Batim, and he put them each in a separate house. And he didn't tell them why he had gathered each of them. And he went to each of them individually and he said, write me the Torah of Moshe. Translate the Torah of Moshe. Natana Kadosh Baruch Hu, who believed kol achad ve'achad etza. Hashem implanted in the hearts of each of these elders an idea, the Heskimu Kulan Ladeat Achan, and they each came separately to the same conclusion. The Katvu Lo Elohim Barab Rishit, Esa Adam Bitselem Ubidvat. And when each of them translated the Torah, Hashem implanted in their minds that each of them on their own should come to the conclusion that instead of writing in the Torah, Na'ase Adam Bitzalmenu Kidmutenu, that they should write, Ese Adam Bitzalem Ubidmut, that in this case, where there might truly be an opening for true heretics to understand the Torah, that multiple people created man along with God, Hashem, in this case, where there was such a strong risk of misunderstanding that would lead to heresy, Hashem said, take that out, that each of them should translate it, that Hashem said, E'ese Adam, let me make man, that he couldn't leave that wide of an opening open for heretics' understanding. However, if we consider these two major problems that we can have when learning, that either one would not be objective when looking in the Torah and would therefore take out whatever supports their agenda, or that someone may find support for something that is outside of Torah values within Torah, these two great risks to our learning, Kohelet poses both of these problems. In Masechet Shabbos it says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Barei de Rav Shmuel bar Shila, Mashmi de Rav, Bakshu Chachamim lignos Sefer Kohelet, Mipnei Shedvarav Sutrim Zezeh. That the Chachamim wanted to hide away, they wanted to put away Sefer Kohelet, because within it there are internal contradictions. That one thing contradicts another within the Sefer. Umipnei ma lo genizuhu, why did they not hide it away? Because it starts with Divrei Torah and it ends with Divrei Torah. So it says, what's the first problem with Kohelet? There are internal contradictions within the Sefer. It seems that one part of the Sefer contradicts the rest of the Sefer. However, it says the Chachamim decided to include it in Tanakh and not hide it away, because it starts with Divrei Torah and it ends with Divrei Torah. So because of this, they were willing to put it in the canon. They were willing to include it in Tanakh. However, Tosefta Yadayim, that teaches us, as we spoke about with Shir HaShirim, which books are considered to be Mitame Yadayim, that a Sefer Kodesh, a holy book, is a book that is considered to be Mitame Yadayim. It makes your hand impure to touching Truma. The background to this, just as a quick recap, people used to store their Truma next to their Sfarim, and when the mice and the rats would come to eat up the Truma, they would end up destroying the Sfarim. So the Chachamim made a Takana, they made a rule that one that anyone who touches a Sefer Kodesh, a holy book, their hands become Tameh, and if they then touch their Truma, that becomes Tameh, in order to protect people from keeping their Truma next to the Sfarim. So when it talks about which books are considered holy, it will call them a Sefer HaMitameh Et HaYadayim, a book that makes dirty, makes impure their hands. So in Tosefta Yadayim, it is talking about which books are considered Mitameh Yadayim. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasi Omer, Shir HaShirim Mitameh Et HaYadayim Mipnei Shenemra Beruach HaKodesh. It says that Shir HaShirim was included in the canon because it was said in Ruach HaKodesh. V'kohelet eino mitameh et hayadayim, she'eino ela michachmatu shel Shlomo. And he says that Kohelet is not mitameh et hayadayim, it's not considered a holy book, because it is written from the Chachma of Shlomo. It's just the Chachma of Shlomo. It's not divinely inspired, and therefore it's not included in Tanakh. So we see that it was not clear-cut that Kohelet would be included in our Tanakh. That in Tosefta Yadayim, it says, it brings down the opinion that Kohelet is not a Sefer HaMitameh Et HaYadayim. It's not a holy book, because it's not divinely inspired, it goes so far to say. However, the Gemara that we read in Masechet Shabbos says, no, it is included in the canon, even though majority of the Sefer contradicts itself, does not seem holy, because the beginning and Torah and end are Divrei Torah, therefore it was included. So Chazal's worries within Sefer Kohelet were that there were internal contradictions. However, they also worried that there were external contradictions, that the words of Kohelet contradict our Torah beliefs, that they go against Torah ideals. What is an example of this? In Kohelet, in Perek Yud Aleph, it says, Sameach bachor b'yaldutecha v'yitavcha libecha b'yimei b'churecha v'halach b'darkei libecha u'mer'e einecha. It says this is the approach of hedonism that is brought down in Kohelet, that it says that when someone is young, they should do whatever they enjoy. They should do what they please in the time of their youth, and they should go after their heart and after their eyes. Whatever their heart and their eyes desire, that's what they should do. Vida ki al kol ila yevi'echa elokim b'mishpat. Know that you should do whatever you want. Just know that at the end of time, you will be judged. But this seems to be advocating hedonism, that although it says that you will be responsible for your actions at the end of the days, it says, enjoy your life while you're young. Do what you want. Do what you feel is what you would enjoy it during your days of youth. And in Vayikra Rabba, it says, Amara Binyamin ben Levi, Bakshulik no Sefer Kohelet. They wanted to hide away Sefer Kohelet. Shematzu bo dvarim shehim notin letzad minat. It includes things that could bring to heresy. Amru kach haya ra'oi shlomo lomar sameach bachor b'yaldutecha v'yetavcha libcha b'mei b'churecha. Why did Shlomo think it was appropriate to write that someone should do whatever they please in the time of their youth? As even though Moshe had said, Moshe Amar, v'lo tatur acharei levavchem v'acharei nichem, that you shouldn't go after your eyes and your heart. That you should go after whatever your heart sees and whatever your heart desires. This seems to be an exact contradiction, almost to the word. Ella hutra ritu'a late din v'late dayan. However, because Kohelet comes and reminds us at the end that no action is without judgment, kivan shamar v'da ki al kol ela yevi'echa halokim mishpat. Amru Yafet Amar Shlomo. Because Shlomo does throw in at the end there that you will be judged for your actions, you can act however you want. You can act in a hedonistic manner. But at the end of the days, you will be responsible for your actions. Because of that, we say, Tov Amar Shlomo. It was okay what Shlomo said, and therefore could be included. But we see that Chazal did allow Kohelet to be included in the canon, included in our Tanakh. But even if we say that the beginning is Divrei Torah and the end is the Divrei Torah, or even if we say that part of a Pasuk can potentially redeem the whole Pasuk, why did we have to include the entire middle part? It doesn't seem necessary to include the parts that go against Torah. No one ever said that Sefer Kohelet had to be a certain length. Why couldn't we just include the parts that agree with our Torah values? Why would we have to include the entire thing? Just another example to strengthen this point. Not only do we struggle on a pshat level, the parshanim, even the most pshat-focused, the most basic-level-focused mefarshim, have trouble understanding Kohelet to the extent that they sometimes have to explain a pasuk to mean exactly the opposite of what it seems to say. For example, in Kohelet Parak Tet, it says, "Li'achol b'simcha lachmecha u'shtei b'leiv tov yinecha." You should go and eat and drink happily. You should eat, live, and be merry. Ki kvar ratza Elokim et ma'asecha, because Hashem already wants everything you do. Bechol I yihye begadecha levinim v'shemen al roshecha lo yechsar. You should wear nice clothing. You should adorn yourself beautifully. Re'ei chayim im isha asher ahavta kol yimei chayecha. Hev lecha asher natan lecha tachar ha-shemesh kol yimei hev lecha. Do whatever you want. Eat, drink, be merry, dress nicely, be with women, whatever you like, because hakol hevel, all is nothingness. Everything that you are given in life is nothing. Everything that you work to do, a famous phrase in Kohelet that repeats time and time again, that everything, hakol amal tachar ha-shemesh, everything you work to do under the shemesh, hakol hevel, all is nothingness. This seems to be pretty antithetical to Torah beliefs, that you should do whatever you want, eat, drink, dress beautifully, do whatever you please, because everything means nothing. How do we understand this? And the Ibn Ezra, who is usually one of the greatest pashtanim, he most closely focuses on pshat, on the basic understanding of the pasuk, he says, he said, what the pasuk really meant to say is, one may mistakenly think that you can spend your whole life eating, drinking, and being merry, but we say to them that this is not true. So Ibn Ezra is kind of adding in a caveat. He's saying, it's not that Kohelet is telling us that we should think this. It's saying that really the precursor to the pasuk is one may mistakenly think that you can spend your life eating, drinking, and doing whatever you please. But this is incorrect. So Ibn Ezra seems to completely turn the pasuk on its head to say that what you see in the pasuk really means the opposite. The pasuk isn't advocating this belief. It's on the contrary. It's saying that this belief is false. And the Ibn Ezra continues in Kohelet Perek Zayin. He says, "Sheyirau b'divrei Shlomo b'sefer hazeh dvarim kashim mehem." Ibn Ezra says, we see seemingly many difficult statements by Shlomo in this sefer. Sheyomer b'makomot ravim, diver davar v'yomer ha'hefech. Uba'avor zeh amruchach ma'yisrael. Bakshu chachamim liknos sefer Kohelet mipnei shedvarav sotrin zeh et zeh. V'yadua ki hakel b'chachamim lo yichaber sefer v'yavater dvarim b'sifro. So Ibn Ezra says, many times in Kohelet, what we have to do is we have to understand the Sefer as specifically talking about its opposite. And this was the trouble that Chazal had with the Sefer, that it's sometimes unbelievable to understand that Shlomo would write one thing and mean another, but that is the only way to understand this Sefer. And that's why he said, the Chachamim saw Sotrin, that the words contradicted each other. And this is what Ibn Ezra said. He said, so our only option is to understand Sefer Kohelet as meaning the opposite, as the exact opposite of what it states in the Pasuk. But okay, this seems very difficult to understand. It only strengthens our question. Why include all of the contradictions? Is anything added by including the pieces that we're not even meant to understand as they're written? That Ibn Ezra is saying we're supposed to understand specifically the opposite. So why not include just those statements that state the opposite, that state Torah values, that we can agree with, that are words of Torah? So the answer to this, I believe, can be found first in, where did we read Kohelet? It says in Kohelet Perek Aleph, Divrei Kohelet ben David, Melech Yerushalayim. It says these are the words of Kohelet, the son of David, who was the king in Yerushalayim. So Rashi here tries to understand what's the word Kohelet? Why doesn't it just say, as it does in Shir HaShirim, that these are the words of Shlomo? Why does it say, Ela Divrei Kohelet, that these are the words of Kohelet? And Rashi says, Kohelet al shem shehakel chachamot harbei. He said it's called Kohelet because it gathers together a number of different ideas. V'chem b'makum acher koru agor ben yaka. She'agar kol ha'chachma. Then in other places it uses the word agor, that he she'agar kol ha'chachma ve'hikia, that he compiled all of the wisdom and he spit it out. V'yishomrim she'aya omer kol dvarav be'hakel, that they used to read Sefer Kohelet during the time of Hakel. And I think this message of Rashi can lead us to our understanding of our entire question. That Rashi is saying the word Kohelet comes from two different things. That it is the gathering together, the hakel of different ideas and presentation of them, and that this was read behakel, that it was read when everyone was gathered together. And I would like to suggest that the message of Kohelet is that everything is a matter of perspective. That the way that we are meant to understand Kohelet is that it is teaching us that there is not one way. There are always many perspectives. And Kohelet is elevating that perspective. And it says that this message is so important, that there is struggle, there are different ideas, there are contradicting ideas, and that not everything we think and everything a person believes is always going to be, A, in line with another belief of theirs, that people go back and forth, people change, people have different perspectives at different times in their lives. Sometimes day to day, people's perspectives on life can change. And people struggle with this. People feel like it's improper to question. It's improper to struggle. But the message of Kohelet is that all of those perspectives are included. We don't just jump to the conclusion, to the point where everything is clear and everything is easily understandable and everything seems sorted out and neat. Rather, Kohelet includes all of the perspectives, all of the debate, all of the questioning, even the things that seem to directly contradict each other. And it gathers all of these together in order for us to learn something from them. And this message had to be given over at Hakel. It had to be given over to everybody. that nobody should feel like, oh, only those that are a little on the fringe question, only those that are out there have struggles. Rather, each and every person in B'nai Israel at some point in their life, at some point in each and every day, may have a question and may have a struggle. And this message is holy. This perspective, this idea that everything can be looked at from multiple perspectives and people switch perspectives and switch their takes on life and their ideals. This is holy, that the human perspective, where we don't always see the perfect outcome from the outset, this is elevated, that everything is a matter of perspective, and that while we're in that struggle, while we're working out our perspective, while we're going through these changes, that too is holy, not only the final product. How do we see this in Sefer Kohelet? The Kohelet is the book that is meant to guide us through these struggles, that is meant to help us to form our final perspectives, to give us the formula to bring godliness into our struggles. We see in Kohelet Perek Dalet a beautiful example of how this is meant to work. It says in Kohelet Perek Dalet, V'yashavti ani ve'ereh ekechol ha'asukim asher na'asim tachar ha'shemesh. V'hine dim'ata ha'asakim v'hine lahem manoach. U'miyad asukehem koach. So he says, we see, Kohelet is discussing injustice in the world, that we see that there are people who toil away and they are oppressed. We see that people seem to not deserve this oppression, but that people are oppressed, and we see power given to the oppressors and power taken away from those who are oppressed. V'shavachani et hametim shekvar mitu mamon hachayim asher hahima hachayim edena. V'tov mishneihem et asher adon lo haya asher lo rata, I see there's a mistake in the source here, et ha-maaseh ha-ra'ah asher ne'aseh tachar ha-shemesh. So he says, then I accounted for those who long died, who are more fortunate than those who are still living, that it seems like in death there must be justice, but for the living there seems to be no justice, that those that toil away are oppressed, while those that sit around and seem to just oppress others, those are the ones that are given power. So Kohelet says, I see some people struggle with injustice. This struggle is real. This idea that we can't comprehend injustice that is happening in the world, this can be understood. But Kohelet then goes on to say, that this is a very regular struggle, that people do see injustice in the world, and this is not something that it is improper to question. It's proper to see this in the world and question why it's happening. However, he says that the conclusion of Kohelet is that we can't understand, that it seems like it's nothingness, and sometimes we just need to accept that we can't understand what God is doing. We can only fulfill our religious obligation, which is to grow from the experience, to see these struggles and think about how we can grow from them, even if we don't understand God's way. So he says, a very common struggle of people not understanding how Hashem could do bad to some people while doing good to others for those who don't seem to be deserving of one or the other. He says, this is a real struggle. And this struggle is given its limelight. It's given its spotlight in Sefer Kohelet. And it's brought up and it's brought down to us that we can understand that this is a struggle that people experience. But he's saying, you have to bring Hashem into this struggle. Realize that just because you're struggling doesn't mean you're outside of what Torah expects from you. You're not outside of what Hashem expects from you. Rather, this too, this struggle is in Tanakh and you have a precedent for it. And you can struggle with it and still be elevated. The human perspective of not always knowing the answer can still be elevated. As it says in Kohelet and Perek Gimel, Yadati ki kol asher esa Elokim hu yihya leolam, alav in lehusif umimenu in legroa. He says, I accept as myself, as a human being, that I won't understand always what Hashem is doing, but I will understand that Hashem is able to add or take away based on how he desires. Halokim asashir umilfanav. That Hashem has the ultimate perspective, but our perspective is also elevated. That I can realize that from my perspective, I'm able to grow. I'm able to struggle. I'm able to experience conflict and religious question and grow from it. We see this also from the structure of Sefer Kohelet. Sefer Kohelet is not just one speaker the entire time. Rather, Sefer Kohelet includes a number of different perspectives that are in conversation the whole time. There's the perspective of the Amal, the person who believes that life is just about acting. It's just about the actions you do. It's about the one who toils constantly. It also includes the perspective of the Chacham, the one who is all about philosophy, who thinks that life is all about thinking about what's going on and using your wisdom to try to solve the contradictions that you see in the world. It also includes the perspective of the Yirei Elokim, the one who just acts from fear, who lives life thinking about reward and punishment, and thinks about their whole life as a system of, if I do this, I will be rewarded. If I do this, I will be punished. Much unlike the Chacham, who just thinks that all of life is about using your wisdom and how you can understand the situation. And lastly, it also includes the perspective of the hedonist, the one who is all about hana'a, pleasure. And all four of these voices are in conversation throughout Sefer Kohelet. And again, all of them are included because at some point in our life, we may feel like the hedonist. We might be saying, what does it matter what I do? I just want to do what I enjoy. I want to eat, drink, and be merry and just enjoy today. And at other points in my life, in our life, we might be acting out of fear. We might have the perspective of the Yirei Elokim, one who is totally acting on a reward and punishment system, and we can't think more philosophically than that. However, we also have those days where we're the Chacham, we're trying to just think about everything and philosophize and try to deeply understand. And we might also just have those days of being an Amal, of feeling like someone who is toiling, who is just going through the actions without much thought, without much feeling. But Sefer Kohelet is saying, the entire conversation is published. Shlomo HaMelech didn't edit them out and just take us to the final few psukim, the final messages, the conclusions. Shlomo HaMelech took us through this conversation, through all the different perspectives, to remind us that all of these perspectives can be elevated. Hashem is with us in that conversation. Finally, another thing that comes up often in Sefer Kohelet is the idea of Hakol Hevel, that everything is nothing. When Hakol Tachat Hashemesh. What is Tachat Hashemesh? Tachat Hashemesh is a life that is limited. That when we view our lives as only what we see in front of us, that we see our actions as purely human, as things that have no greater significance, things that are just what I'm doing on the day-to-day. Kohelet says, if you see your life as a life that it is limited to Tachat Hashemesh, that is limited to this world, and you don't think about how what you're doing in this world is truly holy, is elevated, and has Hashem in it, has what it is above the Shemesh within our lives, when we don't allow the greater influences to penetrate the world of Tachat Hashemesh, of the limited world, we're losing out. That's when Hakol Hevel, that everything is nothing, when we live a limited life, when we have the perspective that we have our godliness, but we can't tap into that in our daily life, in our daily struggle, that when we feel like when we're struggling, we're disconnected from Hashem, that's when everything becomes nothing. In Likutei Halachot from Rabbi Nachman, he says famously, Dehainu, al kol b'nei adam shemunachim b'madriga ha-tachtuna, he says that Hashem is speaking to people on their lowest level, to the people that are on the lowest of low, me'u b'tachlit ha-hastara, those who are in the most hidden state, shemegalin lahem Shehashem imam, that Hashem wants to tell them specifically that Hashem is with them. Sheze bechinat Esther, bechinat v'anochi haster aster she'afilu b'tachlit ha'hasara b'hasara. Shebetol ha'hasara. Gam sham hu anochi. That Hashem is saying, I'm with you in the struggle. The Rami Nachman is telling us, she'afilu b'hasara shebetol ha'hasara. That when Hashem is most hidden from us, that when we are most questioning, when we have that perspective of the hedonist, that we feel like we can just do whatever we want, nothing has ramifications. What does Hashem care about us? When we are living in the tachtona, in the hasara shebetol hasara, that Hashem is most hidden from us, that's when Hashem is specifically saying, I am with you. I am with you in the struggle. I am with you in the religious questions. That's not a time to abandon Hashem. It's the time to embrace Hashem. And remember that Hashem is most with you in those times. That Kohelet's saying, we can't just delete the middle of the Sefer because there is so much godliness there. There is so much potential when we are struggling. And lastly, to end off with a piece from the Radziner Rebbe from Sod Yesharim in his Ma'amar 31 on Shmini Atzeret, he says, We say in davening, V'taher libenu la'avdecha bi'emet, Hashem, please purify our souls to serve you faithfully. Hainu she'anu mitpalim, what are we davening for here? She'aseh Hashem yitbarach makum panoi b'libenu l'kabel kol ha'kidusho. We are asking Hashem, please make an open space in our heart to accept your holiness. Ki ikar ha'minia milakabel ha'kidusha hu rak misibat ha'mesach ha'mavdil. V'kasher yasir Hashem yisparach zeh ha'mesach ha'mavdil b'libenu. Azai yihye makum panoi b'libenu l'kabel kol ha'kidusho. V'zehu v'tahar libenu shehiye ha'liv. Clay kibul ki tahara mo'er al makum panu lahashrut hakdusha. He says the greatest roadblock to having Hashem in our lives is our own thoughts. That when we block Hashem out of our neshamot, that is the greatest hurdle that Hashem has to overcome to giving us his kedusha, to allowing himself into our lives. That we are our own greatest enemies when it comes to allowing Hashem in our lives. That we put up those roadblocks. We don't let Hashem in. When we think that when we're struggling, we're disconnected from Hashem. And what the Rosina Rebbe is telling us is that those are the times that we have to most open ourselves up. And we dive into Hashem. V'tahar libenu la'avdecha bi'emet. Allow us to clear a space in our hearts to let you in. And this is the message that I want to conclude with from Sefer Kohelet. That in the times that we think we're the lowest of low, that we are putting up those roadblocks, that we're questioning Hashem, that we're saying, Hashem, how is it? We feel like everything is tachat Shemesh. Everything is so limited that we feel like hakol hevel, everything is nothing, that we struggle and we feel so antithetical to Torah. We feel that what we're thinking and what we're believing and what we're questioning is so against what Hashem wants from us. V'tahar libeinu la'avdecha bi'emet. Allow Hashem in. Allow the times that seem the most godless to become those full of the most godliness. May we take this message of Kohelet and bring it into our everyday lives. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.